kind of wild to hear money burning, isn't it? Well, we are starting a brand new series simply entitled Don't Waste It. You know, it's really easy in the Christian culture to talk about the resources that God has given us and the talents and the abilities and all these different things. And it's really easy for us to say, man, if God's given you this ability, you've got to use it. You've got to maximize it. You've got to do those things. But then when it comes to the topic of money, we tend to get really shy. And in fact, there's some people that go, oh, you need to just give everything away and live like a pauper. Well, the Bible doesn't necessarily teach that. And then other people say, well, you know what, if you're really a Christian and you're God's number one and God's going to bless you no matter what and you're going to have money coming out your ears and you can drive, you know, seven different Bentleys for one for each of the day of the week. God doesn't teach that either. But there is a balance within Scripture when it comes to finances. There's a balance. It says this is what God has said. And whatever ability God has given you, because God has given some people the ability to earn a lot of money. And he's given other people the ability to earn enough money or just enough money to be able to do what God's called them to do. The key behind it all is, what is God's purpose for your life? Because God's purpose for your life determines how you use the gifts that God's given you in your life, determines how you use those things. And so today, as we talk about earning vigorously, I mean, just earning as much as you possibly can in this life for the purpose of God's glory and maximizing the abilities and the things that God has given you, I want to begin with our big idea. If you're new here at Friendship, I like to give a big idea, one thing you can kind of hang your hat on. If you forget everything else that I've said, hopefully this will kind of bore into your brain when it comes to doing that. And here's the big idea. It's really simple. Work was created by God. It's not a sin. It's not a curse. It's not something that's evil. It's not something that's wrong. Work was created by God. And so not only is it not an evil, sinful, horrible curse, work was created by God as a resource. It's something that God has given to you. God has placed in your hand, and he says, take it, use it to the maximum ability that you possibly can, just like every other resource. And then here's the kicker. God has created work as a resource and given it to us for mankind to enjoy. To enjoy. Now, let's just really quickly, let's just take a quiz. How many of you would say, let me tell you something, when Monday morning rolls around and that alarm goes off at 6 o'clock or 5:15 or 4:25 or whatever it is, you wake up and you're like, thank you, God, I get to go to work today. How many of you? Okay, so there's like four of you. Awesome, that's great. That's great. See, this is why we're teaching this, okay? Because the reality is, now I know our emotions get in the way sometimes and we have a bad night or, you know, whatever the case may be. We watch a Pacer game till, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and they throw it away in the last 2 minutes, whatever the case may be, and we're like grumpy and that type. But the reality is that God has given work to us as a resource to enjoy. There's supposed to be a joy in your work. There's supposed to be something that as you do it, there's pleasure in a job well done. Now, here's the thing. In our culture, in the United States, and probably more so even so in the Western civilization, there's been this concept that's been built in over probably the last, I would say, 50 to 75 years, that work is something that you just get through so that you cannot have to work anymore. You just get through it until you can get to retirement so you can sit around and play golf all the time. You know, and that's what it's all about. But do you know that retirement is never mentioned in the Bible at all? There's no point in the Bible where it says retire. And in fact, the reality is I have seen so many people who retire at 65 or whatever the case may be, and man, they are spry and they're excited and they retire, and 3 years later they die and they look like they're 145 because they sit around, they don't have purpose. You see, God created work. Whether you're doing it for an income in your, you know, earning years, or you're doing it in retirement as a volunteer and you just enjoy doing it, work is a part of what God has created for you to do. And so as you do it according to your purpose, there should be joy in that. And part of the joy in that is maximizing your abilities to earn as much as you possibly can to be able to provide for your family and all those different things. Look at this, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This was written by Solomon. Solomon, the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived, he wrote this book called Ecclesiastes because he decided he was going to search for the meaning of life. Now, unlike probably most people who search for the meaning of life, he had the means, the motive, and the opportunity to be able to explore every possible avenue. And in Ecclesiastes, he records for us how he explores every possible avenue. And in the end, he goes, listen, the reality is there are some things in this life that are joyful and exciting and that type of thing. But the bottom line is if you're not doing it for the glory of God, you're going to miss out. That was the conclusion of the matter. That was the conclusion of everything. It's just, listen, this is what it's all about. And so doing it for the right reason can take something that was drudgery and turn it into enjoyment. Doing something that you hate doing, but yet you do it well or you excel at it, if you do it for the right purpose, can change the whole motivation and the joy that comes behind it. And look at what he says here. Here's what I've seen to be good and fitting, because this is a good thing. This may not be the thing, because the thing is obviously serving God, but here's a good thing that I've seen in this world and in this life. To eat and drink and enjoy oneself. And we're all like, well, yeah. Eating? Anyone in for eating? Some of you are honest. That's good. Someone this week, put on Facebook. I saw a chocolate mayonnaise cake recipe that Grandma used to make, which I'm like, yes, please, anytime. But that's good. It's good stuff. So eating, we like that, right? Drinking, no one's like water. I like water. Water mixed with other stuff, put in a barrel and sat for a while. I really like that. Okay. Drinking, right? And then enjoying oneself. And we're like, yeah, I like to enjoy myself. I like to have fun. So we're like, that doesn't take the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived to come up with that. But then I want you to see what he tags it with. To eat, to drink, and enjoy in all of one's what? Work. What? We are supposed to actually enjoy our job and our labor and our work as much as we do eating and drinking and just simply enjoying life? How does that work together? Now follow this. He says, in all of one's labor, in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. You and your ability to work is actually a part of God's reward to you. When's the last time you looked at your work that way? When's the last time you looked at your job and said, man, this is God's reward to me for doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Now, maybe some of you are going, this is God's reward to me for doing the things that I haven't been supposed to be doing. But, you know, your perspective of things can change how you see things. And Solomon literally says, you know, part of God's reward to you is the fact that you can work and you can enjoy how you work. And he says, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and to rejoice in his labor. This is a gift from God. Now, there's a lot of guilt being thrown around today in our world because people love to make everyone else feel guilty. And part of the guilt is that if you have the finances to do something, then you shouldn't talk about it and you certainly shouldn't really enjoy it because there are people somewhere who can't do that. Do you realize that it's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches? Solomon right here lays that very simply. He says, listen, if God has given you the ability to work, God has given you also the power to enjoy it, and not just enjoy that, but to enjoy the rewards or the fruits of your labor. So if you get money, finances, whatever the case may be from doing those things, God says, as long as you handle this in a way that's responsible, you can actually enjoy what you get from that. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. Nothing. There's nothing wrong from having a nice house. There's nothing wrong from having nice clothes. Now, if you can't eat or you've got $15,000 worth of credit card debt on one Kohl's credit card, that's a problem. You're not handling it the way that God's called you to. And guess what? You are not going to enjoy it because the book of Proverbs says that the slave, or the borrower is slave to the lender. You are enslaved. God says, that's not what I called you to. I called you to be free. So how you handle it will also determine whether or not you get to enjoy it. But Solomon lays it out so clearly. He says, listen, God has called us to maximize every resource that he's placed into our hands in even work and what work produces. And that is, of course, financial gain, things that God's given us through hard work. And here's the cool part. When you do hard work and you do it for the right motive and you do it for the right reason, work in and of itself can actually be rewarding. You ever done something that you really wanted to do? not like putting an IKEA bed together, because that's, I'm pretty sure that's close to hell on earth. The Swedish people are interesting. But anyways, you ever done something that you're like, man, I really want to do this, but it was really hard work. Like, it was hard. And when you got done, you step back and you're like, yeah. Why? Because your motivation was, I want to accomplish this, I want to do this, and even though it's hard, I'm enjoying it. When you work hard with the right motivation, that in and of itself, even the results of it don't turn out the way you want to, that in and of itself can be a reward. You're like, man, hard work in and of itself can potentially be a reward, something that gives you joy. And then also he teaches us in this verse that God has no issue with you earning lots of money. No issue. Now, does he say that everyone is going to earn lots of money? Answer, no. Does he expect that everyone should earn lots of money? No. It's according to your ability that he's given you. But he says, if you have the ability to do that, not only do I not condemn it, I encourage you to do more of it because of the three other things we're going to be talking about over this series. So he even wants you to enjoy the things that you have. So the big question is, why? Why? Why are you doing it? Now, if you're working 90 hours a week and you're not spending any time with your kids and you've got little kids at home, and when you walk in the door, the kids go, stranger danger, there's a problem. Okay? You've got your priorities turned upside down. You are not doing it the way that God's called you to do it. Because your first priority on this earth, if you are married, is your spouse. That's your number one priority. You're like, but we have kids. No. They're not priority number one at any point in time. Did you hear that? Just those of you that have kids, realize kids are lower on the totem pole than your spouse. They matter less to you than your spouse. Don't ever supplant your spouse with your kids. That's free counseling. Okay, so there's no greater relationship than your spouse. And then, of course, providing for your family. In fact, we're going to talk in a couple weeks. The Bible says this, that if you don't provide for your own family, especially those in your own household, you are worse than someone that has rejected Christ altogether and said it's hocus pocus, it's baloney. You're worse than that, because God says you're providing for those that are responsible and underneath your care is one of the number one most important things that you need to do on this earth. So the why are you doing it? There's a great quote I came across when I was doing the research for this series by Rick Warren. And he says this, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. Work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. You see, our motivation for earning vigorously is not so that we can get filthy rich and retire at 40, and make fun of all those that don't, and post really cool pictures on Facebook to make everyone else jealous of us. That's not the purpose. The purpose is because we do what we can, and we earn what we can, and we work as hard as we can, because we understand that this is a gift and a resource from God, and we're going to maximize it to God's glory. That's why we do it. And when we do that, when we realize that when that alarm goes off at 4:25 or 3:30 or 5:15 or 6 o'clock, and we're like, man, I'm so tired, and we realize, hey, I get to get up, I get to go to work and worship God all day long. You go, well, I don't work at the church. Sometimes church work isn't very worshipful. The reality is, it doesn't matter where you work. If you are doing it for God and for the glory of God, it's worship. Now, here's the thing. You don't walk around at work with your earbuds in singing worship songs and not be productive, because that is not what God's called you to do. You worship God at work by doing the best of your ability, by doing it with excellence, by honoring your employer, even the bad ones. That's how you worship God. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And then we're gonna pull four things out of this that talks about how we are to earn the way that God's called us to earn. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. How many of you feel like slaves sometimes when you're like at work? You're like, yeah, okay, awesome, great, thanks. So if you're like, some of you don't work, you're just married. That's interesting. We should have a conversation about that. But So slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, we're not slaves. We get to work. We can leave. We can go here. We can do this. We're not slaves. But Paul is literally talking to people who were slaves. He says, listen, you are a slave, but you are supposed to obey your master. Like, well, yeah, but they're the master. They're the man. We're really supposed to obey them? Yes. Why? Because they have the power? No, because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Think about the last thing that you said about your employer or your manager or your supervisor. Would you ever say that about Jesus Christ? Think about the way that you responded to your manager, your supervisor, your employer when they asked you to do something. Your attitude, your face, your tone of voice, your production. Would you do that to Christ? If not, the answer is you're not earning the way that God's called you to earn. You're not working the way that God's called you to work, because Paul says right here, serve them sincerely. This means not fake, by the way. Sincere means not fake. You're not putting on a face for when they're watching you. To serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time. You're like, what? I'm supposed to make them happy? Yes, in the way that you work. Not just when they're watching you. You're like, they're watching me all the time. They got cameras everywhere. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with what? Enthusiasm. When's the last time your boss, supervisor, manager walked and says, hey, I've got a new task for you, and you're like, woohoo, what are we doing today? They'd probably be like, nothing, I'll see you later. Hey, HR, we need to test for somebody on drugs today. So work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord, rather for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or whether we are free. God is literally saying through the Apostle Paul here, I see you. I see what you're doing. I see your hard work. And even if you do not receive the reward that you should receive for the work that you are doing, I guarantee you that you will receive your due reward in due time. I'm watching you. I'm aware of your hard work. I'm aware of what you're doing each and every day to accomplish and be all that you can be and earning the way that I've called you to earn. Now, in this, I think we've got to realize that as Paul is saying this, putting it in words that we can maybe understand a little better, behind every employer, manager, and supervisor stands Jesus Christ. As you look at your employer, your manager, your supervisor, you should not see your employer, manager, or supervisor. You should see Jesus Christ. They go, well, he uses that name a lot. But, yeah, that's not, no, you got to understand. The Bible teaches that all authority under heaven has been given by God. You go, well, he didn't earn that spot, more than likely, but God allows him to maintain that spot, at least for the moment. And so while he or she is your manager, supervisor, or employer, you are to treat, act, listen to, follow as if it were Christ. Now you go, that's sometimes not easy. Agreed? Do you realize that Paul doesn't say as long as they're nice? Paul doesn't say as long as they're good? Paul doesn't say even if they're evil? Even if you don't like? No, he just says, listen. Behind every employer, supervisor, manager, you've got to see Christ standing there. Because he is watching what we're doing. He is evaluating our attitude. You may do it all the way that you're supposed to, but inside, you're coming up with like Ocean's 11 type schemes to make sure that they don't make it out of work alive because your attitude's wrong. Christ doesn't just see the outward results. He sees what's going on in your heart. That Jesus Christ, when you do it right, you can, in your mind, if you do it right and you do it with the right attitude, you can literally believe this, that Jesus Christ is standing over you going, man, good job. Your boss may never give you praise, but when you do it right, Jesus Christ is constantly saying, well done. And finally, when we look at this, we understand that Jesus Christ is rewarding our progress, even if we don't get it from our employer. So, how do we earn vigorously in a way that God has called us to? Four things. First thing is this. Earn with integrity. Paul says, do these things as if you were serving Christ. Do these things in the way that God has laid it out. Do these things as if Jesus Christ were watching you. So you do it with integrity. You have to have an integrity of heart, an integrity of attitude, and an integrity of action. You do it with integrity. You go, well, no one else is doing it that way. It doesn't matter. You do it with integrity. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19 literally says, dishonest gain or things that you do in a certain circumventing the process or not doing it the way you're supposed to literally steals your life. I remember when I was a waiter, put myself through college as a waiter at Friendly's Restaurant. They have the best ice cream on the planet. But Friendly's Restaurant. And we were supposed to record our tips for the IRS, right? How much you got that night. Well, I would always honestly record my tips. Typically, I was the person that did the buses with the little old ladies that they were like, you know, pinching my cheek and giving me a $10 tip for a thing of ice cream, you know. And I'm walking out there with $150, $200 every night that I'm working, and I'm putting them on there. And the manager literally calls me into his office and says, hey, why is it that you're marking down this much and everyone else is putting down like $30, $40? I'm like, you'd have to ask them. And they're like, well, okay, we will. And then, like, the other waiters came to me, they're like, or waitresses, really. They came to me like, dude, you got to stop doing that. You're getting us in trouble. And I'm like, I got to be honest. I'm literally going to go into ministry. I don't think really an IRS investigation is a good call for me. I mean, some of the megachurch pastors, that's okay for them. But, you know, not really, I've got to kind of be integrity. And so it literally is like sometimes it costs you to do it with integrity, but that's what God's called you to earn with integrity and honesty of heart. Not only that, it says that we're supposed to earn with enthusiasm. Paul says, listen, work with enthusiasm. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Don't do it with half of your effort. Don't go halfway. Don't go part of the way. Don't be like, well, I'll do just enough to get by. God has never called a single believer of Jesus Christ to ever do something halfway, ever. Ever. I love reading through the Bible and going, man, what does God called people to do? Do you realize God never called anyone to do anything easy? God shows up to Moses and goes, hey, you know that country where there's a death warrant on your head because you killed that guy? I want you to go back into the king's quarters and tell him let all his slaves that's built his kingdom go. Hey, Noah, I know you're new at this, but I'd like you to build a boat. What's a boat? I'll show you. It'll be fine. 120 years later, he finishes the boat. David, I want you to be the new king. Okay, cool. What's going to happen to the old king? He's going to chase you for about 15 years and try to kill you. God doesn't call us to do easy things, but he calls us to do amazing things. Because each and every one of us is called according to his purpose and his plan. And where you fit. And so work at it with all your might. Do it well. Because God is watching. And here's the thing. As you do well, God increases your ability to make a greater difference. Work with enthusiasm. Number four, earn with expectation. You should earn with expectation. You should go, listen, if I'm going to do this, my expectation is that there's going to be a reward. Sometimes people say, well, you should just do the right thing because it's the right thing. Okay. Yeah, are we supposed to do the right thing because it's the right thing? Answer, yes. Is that really great motivation? Do you think that maybe the God who created our inner workings and our emotions and our mind and all those things understands motivation probably a little bit better than we do? And the God who understands our inner workings and inner motivations and our minds and our hearts, he literally says, listen, I want you to work as hard as you can, and I promise you, you will be rewarded for it. I will see it, and I will make sure that you are taken care of the way that you are taken care of, whether it's here or in eternity. What you do and when you do right, it will be rewarded. So earn with expectation. Go, man, if I'm going to work hard, my expectation is that I'm going to be rewarded in some way, shape, or form. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says that God will repay everyone according to the deeds that they have done. Whether or not it's ching, 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 or it's a family that works great, or it's a joy of life, or a simplicity of life where you're like, man, this is the way that God's called me to do, or an impactful life that God's given you, whatever the case may be. Finally, earn with excellence. Earn with excellence. If God has given you the ability to do something, you should do it with excellence. With excellence. Now, excellence means that you learn how to do it better and better and better and better. You don't go, I know enough. There are a lot of things in life that I know enough to be dangerous. I'm not going to try to find a job doing it. I know enough to be dangerous when it comes to fixing things in the car. However, I am not going to take an entire engine apart because I could probably put it back together again, but I'd have some extra parts. There are certain things that you go, okay, this is what God's called me to do. This is not what God's called me to do. But in any area that God's called you to do it, you are to do it with excellence. You should be the absolute best that you can possibly be. When people look at you, they should say to themselves, there is an individual who does what they do to the best of their ability, and they constantly improve their ability with learning and training and all these other things because God has called you to do it with excellence. In fact, he says, listen, do it with respect for those that are over you. Do it in fear of those that are over you. Do it with sincerity of heart. Do it because you are trying to please Christ, even if the owner or the manager or the employee or the employer or the supervisor or the manager isn't watching you. You do it right. If you earn with integrity, enthusiasm, expectation, and excellence, you will be earning vigorously. You will be doing it and maximizing the ability that God has given you. Now again, don't misconstrue this and go, Dave said we're all going to be millionaires. Woohoo! No. No. But Dave is telling you that the Bible says that you are to maximize your ability to earn as much as you possibly can. Not for you, but for God's glory. Because God gave you that ability to do it. My challenge to you this morning as we wrap all things up is that you would make that choice. You'd say, you know what, from this point forward, whatever my job is, whether it's a job that's out in the workforce somewhere, whether I'm a white collar, a blue collar, or a no collar, whether I get paid financially or I work at home and my payment is in poopy diapers and other things, that you would go, man, what God has called me to do, I'm going to maximize my ability. I'm going to earn it the way that God has called me to earn it. And then my challenge to you is be here the next 3 weeks. We jokingly laugh about the fact that whenever we talk about money, our attendance dips during that series. We don't know why. My challenge to you would be here for the next 3 weeks because we're going to talk about how you can begin to have a character that's more like God, how you can begin to save according to the future and the purpose that God has for your life, and how to spend what you have according to the priorities that God has given. And if you will do those things as you go through life, you will experience a freedom and a joy in this area of finances that you've yet to experience in life. And that's something that I believe that God's called you to. I believe that that's something that God has called all of us to. It's something that we actually teach here as a church. that we will learn how to be financially stable with the things that God's given us. Father God, we thank you so much for your joy. We thank you for the ability that you've given us to work. God, we also pray that we would understand that work is a part of our nature. It's something that we should be doing in some way, shape, or form. And that, God, there's nothing wrong with maximizing the results of that. The product of our effort is something that you've given us to be used and enjoyed. And so, God, I pray that we would put in our minds and we would put in our hearts that if we know Jesus Christ, we are going to earn with the maximum potential that we possibly can for the right reason. Not because we want to have all these things, but, God, because we want to honor you. And in that honoring you, we want to become more like you as we maximize the resources that you've placed in our hands. God, I pray that we would humbly before you just commit ourselves to begin to see work the way that you have created it to be, and that we would maximize it for your honor and for your glory. God, we thank you so much for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.